County Attorney Dewhurst, will you raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you will give before this governor and council will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, submitted under penalty of perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Please have a seat.
Good afternoon, Attorney Dewhurst.
Good afternoon, Governor.
Do you want to start by making any remarks, or do you want to just respond to questions?
I'm fine with questions.
Okay. Well, let me begin. You've heard Mr. Byrd's statements and answers to questions. How would you respond to what he just had to say?
First of all, I'd like to say that, of course, I was not the prosecutor who brought this case, and I'm here today representing the office. I believe that the governor and council has most of the transcripts and the evidence that was submitted at the trial. There were two trials. One ended in a mistrial. The second one was held to jury. And there were two charges on that case, and criminal threatening and reckless conduct. There seems to be a difference of how the facts have been relayed. Mr. Byrd did not choose to testify at the time of the trial. Ms. Harris was a woman who was in O6 who was looking for some property. She came to the residence. She was confused as to where she was. She had spoken with the defendant's niece. She had discussed where approximately the property that she was looking for was. When she got there, there is a dispute as to the facts. She testified that, in fact, when she got there, Mr. Byrd was yelling profanities at her. And there was testimony that he, in fact, waved a .45 caliber SIG handgun in her direction. And this was subject to a lengthy cross-examination at the trial. And the jury found that, in fact, Mr. Byrd had waved that weapon, not as he says today, but in a manner that was threatening. And she was very fearful. She was very upset. She gave her statement to the police department. This was all documented. Police reports were filed. There's been a series of motions. All of them were denied in Mr. Byrd's case. The appeal was not successful. The court reviewed various issues of law that came before it, and they found that the conduct on that day was not reasonable, and that, in fact, a jury could have found, as they did, that criminal threatening had taken place. Those are the disputed facts, and I, you know, without being at the trial myself, I'm looking at the record, and also representing the interests of the victim who could not be here today.
Okay. Thank you. Councilor Zurich.
You know, you are at a serious disadvantage here in trying to present something when you weren't there.
I am, sir.
How many witnesses did they have in that trial that were refuting what was saying Mr. Byrd did?
There was actually only one witness that that testified what happened at that time.
Who was it?
That was Christine Harris.
Christine Harris.
Now, there were other witnesses that did appear for the state and testified to the various facts and different events that were going on that day and what was reported to them through the police department in Moultonburg.
And would any of that support the statements that Christine Harris made?
Other than what she reported to them, and there was nothing that disputed.
She reported it to them.
That's right.
So they were just kind of mouthing what she said.
That's correct.
Well, you know, I'm just looking at this item in here, and apparently this is something that came from your office early, or previous occupant in the office. I've never gotten any justice in this state, in this justice system, where judges can make their own rules and persecute people and get away with it. Let me see that someone like Ward Burt will actually get what he deserves. So everything that is based in the result of the trial is based on just the character witness of this lady.
I'm not sure if I understand.
Well, there was nobody else there that
that's
we're talking
right.
about. It's his word against her word.
I believe that's correct.
Now, did they do any checking into her background? See a little bit about her?
I believe Mrs. Bird was inside the residence, but no one else witnessed the event.
Just the two?
As far mm-hmm. as I know.
So, did your office determine anything about the background of Christine Harris? I mean, she was your only witness. The whole case revolved around her.
They do the standard investigations, as I understand it.
Standard investigation. And what did
they
review
the police reports, whatever yeah. was brought to them.
Do you know anything about her background? Any other problems that she may have or had in the past?
I believe there are problems that Ms. Harris has had that have been put in your packages. Most of those problems are after this event, however.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have anything that occurred prior to this event?
I'm not entirely sure on that.
So would you know if, in fact, she had enough money to be looking at property that she might want to buy? Was she in a position to do that?
I believe the testimony was that it was her intention to get some grants or funding.
Some grants? Get a piece of property?
Yep.
Let me know where that is, because I want to get some.
Well, counsel, I believe that there are quite a few people who buy large parcels of land with that type of intention, if it's for a purpose. It's not uncommon.
Well, do you know anything about the reason why she'd be cruising around there looking for a specific piece of property up here when she lived in Salem?
No other than the area, maybe the acreage, that I'd be speculating.
You don't know what she was intending to do if she, in fact, found a piece of property she liked? She didn't say anything.
I believe the testimony was that she was going to use it for purposes of animals or things like that.
What?
Some type of care of animals.
I don't know where I read this, but she is in trouble now because of cruelty to animals. I think there's like 47 animals they found in her residence, which I understand is not what I would consider a prime residence. So I don't know that she'd be looking for something for animals if, in fact, she's now being charged with cruelty. And I don't know when this occurred, but it's definitely something that's in the works, I guess, for her. She she's been charged, but she hasn't been to court, I don't believe. I don't know. So it's hard for me to believe that she was interested in something for animals. Apparently she's not too fond of them, but this is the way she treats them. So I'm just wondering, you know, about the character. If it's a character witness who has not very good character, I don't know how you can assign a lot of honesty to what she was saying in the court. Only two witnesses, one against the other. Not good. Governor?
Counselor Wheeler.
Governor, now you said it's not uncommon for someone to be up looking for property for an animal farm. Is it? Well, let me back that up. Your office knew that she was convicted of a felony for writing bad checks. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you still chose to believe her over Ward?
Yes.
And this person who has written, you know, been convicted of writing bad checks recently, bad checks, no money, you also believe that she was legitimately there buying $1 million piece of property? Your office.
That was her testimony.
I understand that, but I'm talking about your office and why you would bring the charges forward.
I cannot speak for the past county attorney, counselor. I wish I could, but those were the facts, and they believed what she was there looking for, and there was nothing that disputed that at that time. As I understand it, I was not there. This was several years ago.
But there was a statement from Ward Bird to the police that disputed her story, correct? Even though he didn't testify, he did give the police a statement.
There were disputing facts throughout the case.
So what made your office, in this he said, she said situation, did you check out the credibility of Christine Harris? What steps did your office take to check out the credibility of your witness before you decided to press charges?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Was it the tears, or you don't know what you checked out, what you didn't?
I wasn't there. I was not there, and the prosecutor could not be here today.
Did you, or would it be a regular practice when you're taking the word of a convicted felon to check in with her probation and parole officer and see what he thinks of her credibility?
Possibly.
And was that done in this case?
Not to my knowledge.
You are aware we have a statement from the probation and parole officer?
Yes, I learned that last week.
Did your office check into anything of her financial background, knowing that she had written bad checks, to proceed with this prosecution and to give her credibility? I just wondered, what made you to decide that she was telling the truth and Ward was lying? Because that's what the case hinges on.
Well, I don't believe Mr. Byrd testified, so.
But he had a statement to the police.
Yes. As brought to us by the Moultonborough Police Department and the facts and circumstances, basically the facts as they were relayed and as she called the police department, they jived with what was reported to the police department, and they didn't find any untruthfulness, and they brought the charge forward. That's all I can tell you.
Maybe you won't find what you don't look for, but.
Yes, Council Burton.
Yes, I'd just like to make a statement that Attorney Dewhurst, County Attorney, now County Attorney Dewhurst, picked up this case after he took the oath of office. I think it's obviously difficult for you to know exactly all the details prior to your assuming the oath of office there in the county. The prosecutor was aware of today, Tom?
Yes, but we had an extremely important hearing that could not be moved on a sexually violent predator petition that could not be moved due to statutory reasons. And other than that, the prosecutor would have been here. And I do apologize to the board, but there was no other circumstance.
Well, for the benefit of anyone, I've known Attorney Dewhurst for many years, and I'm sure he's doing the best he can. The oath of office that he assumed.
Councilor Sununu.
I have a couple questions about the. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't understand the legal aspects of this completely. Did the concept of, or the testimony of Ms. Harris that claimed Mr. Byrd came off the porch, did that become a factor into the severity of whether criminal intent was a justifiable charge?
I think the jury gave that weight, but it was also subject to the cross-examination of defense counsel in that he went back and forth on the porch, waving the weapon and pointing it in her direction.
If Mr. Byrd had stayed on the porch, or if it had been understood by the jury that he had stayed on the porch, he could have still been charged with the same criminal intent.
Yes.
If he had stayed in his house, and she had seen him roaming through a window in his house, and he was yelling at her from the house, and she'd seen a weapon, could he still be charged with the same criminal intent?
Well, that depends on what she could see through the window.
Let's say she could see him perfectly clearly, but he's clearly in his house. That's still, I guess, I'm just trying to understand the law itself. The law says that technically she could still claim that there was, or the county, I should say, could still claim that there was criminal intent upon his part.
The problem with all of that is what are Ms. Harris's intentions at the time that one sees another, mm-hmm. and what Mr. Byrd is doing, where and when. So it all has to do with a perceived risk or a threat,
It's very subjective.
And whether or not it's reasonable. And this is what the Supreme Court ruled on.
So it's a very subjective situation?
It is.
Again, I have to go back to Councilor Wheeler's question. When something is so subjective and you essentially have a he said, she said, or in this case, she said, because Mr. Bird did decide not to to testify, it was still determined, yep, this is enough, let's go forward on this.
I think what it comes down to, Counselor, is that we had a victim who made a report to the police department who was charged, and an indictment was brought, and a case was brought forward. There was nothing to the prosecutor's office that would suggest that Ms. Harris was untruthful. And when they brought the case forward, they did so based upon that theory. There was nothing that was brought forward that would suggest that she was not untruthful.
So, again, just to understand the law, situationally, for example, if I were not at home and someone came to my home at 2 in the morning and my wife decided to get a gun because she was, you know, concerned, and she came down to the door and opened the door, and technically, based on the word of someone, whoever has come to the door, whether they're selling Girl Scout cookies or with the intent to harm, whatever it might be, my wife could be charged with criminal intent, according to the law.
Only on certain circumstances, and in the middle of the night, where facts cannot be clearly distinguished what's going on.
Well, I think this is a good case of that. When you say where facts cannot clearly be distinguished, what's
going on? That could be the case, but I think we were in broad daylight when this happened. And we were out in a courtyard and on the porch. Much different circumstances.
Councilor St. Hilaire.
Thank you. County Attorney Dewhurst, is it fair to say that a large number of your cases hinge on testimony that are between two people that were there at the scene and the officers arrived after the fact?
As Councilor Burton said, I haven't had a tremendous amount of cases, only been sworn in on January 5th. But as far as that, in many cases, yes, that would be the case.
And it's fair to say that when you're reviewing a record of somebody, like in this case, let's take this case, you had a record of a bad check, right, or your office did, and that was it, because all the other things we got in our packet, that didn't exist at that point. So it's fair to say, you look at that record, but you also look at the person who's charged, whether they have a record or not. Mm-hmm. If they also have a record, that kind of weighs into it.
Right.
As far as whether you're willing to proceed or not, correct?
That would weigh into it.
So you're not just saying one person's lying, one person's not. You take all these factors together, whether to proceed. Correct?
As it might be available.
And then you trust if you can't work the case out prior to going to court, which about 90-something percent of cases work out, correct?
That's correct.
You trust in the jury system and hope that they make the right decision when they hear all the facts.
Yes.
Any final question? Because I want to continue to move on. Yes. Then we'll do you, Councilor.
One question here. I'm assuming that you had talked to the former county prosecutor, Robin Gordon. She knew that you were going to be here?
I did not speak with her.
You didn't speak with her?
Councilor, there was not a lot of transition between my office and hers when I took office.
Well, I'll tell you frankly, I can't ascribe much value to your testimony here. Since you weren't there, you didn't talk to her, so that we know that you're interpreting her feelings and bringing them to us, you might just as well not have been here, as far as I'm concerned.
Counselor, I would like to respond.
Go ahead,
to that.
Sure.
I did speak with the prosecutors in the office who prosecuted the case. I also spoke with the victim witness advocate who heard the testimony. I gathered and spent weeks reviewing this information to make sure that I was adequately prepared as best I could for this situation. And I reviewed, we asked, the Attorney General asked for Ms. Gordon's input in this matter. I spoke with her briefly concerning the case, but not in any great detail. And I understood her position, which was submitted to this council. And that was the best that I could do. But as far as the facts of the case and what happened at the trial, that comes from the direct, my inquiries to the prosecutor who tried the case. So there was nothing really that differed from what I have testified to, that Robin Borden wouldn't have testified to. She did not try the case either.
Oh, she didn't try the case?
No, she did not.
Who did?
Susan Boone did. And I spent considerable time speaking with her and the victim witness advocate, Ms. Melissa Smith, and to get at all the facts for this inquiry.
Well, Governor, I didn't want anybody to think it's a personal thing that I'm saying.
No.
Because, Councilor Burton, you obviously know the attorney very well, so.
No,
We're dealing with business here, so you
right.
understand that.
Yes, okay. Yes, sir. I just didn't want there to be any misunderstanding that I wouldn't have got the information that was necessary for your review.
All right.
Councilor Wheeler.
I want to go back to something you said, and again, there's nothing personal here either. I'm trying to get to the facts.
Yes, sir.
But you stated that you didn't see any bad intentions on Christine Harris's, her point of view. You didn't feel that she had any bad intentions, but you did have a statement in hand from Ward's cousin that says that if she got to the construction trailer, not to go any further, and that the driveway had no trespassing signs. And you didn't think those were bad intentions to ignore private property rights?
What I understood from speaking with the people who were involved with the trial was that there were a lot of less no trespassing signs than there are today. And as to landmarks and locations in that area, it is very easy to get turned around. And in fact, on the view, when the jury took the view, they had a hard because in the purpose of making view statements, they were asked to look at different things so that they could relate to what the witness's testimony was going to be. And it's my understanding that they were having trouble identifying certain landmarks, which would have been the case at that time.
Are you telling me that the jury missed the construction trailer?
I'm not telling you that,
okay.
Counselor, but as far as other landmarks and bridges and things of that nature, they did have a hard time finding those things or seeing them.
So she was told, if you come to the construction trailer, and I've seen the pictures of it, a 48-foot trailer, how do you miss that? Isn't that a sign that when she was told by a family member, if you go to the trailer, you are in the wrong place? But she ignores the warning of the family member and continues on. And are you saying your office chose to ignore that?
I'm not saying what my office chose to do in that particular regard. And I didn't have the picture that you're referring to.
So if she has this warning from the cousin, don't go any further, how many trespassing signs do you need beyond that before your office would, you know, in fact, that's the root question. You know, why didn't she get prosecuted for trespassing? How many trespassing signs and how many 48-foot trailer trucks does it take for her to understand no?
I can't speak for the victim, but I don't believe she thought she was on the wrong property.
She missed the trailer truck then? You just, you had a statement from the cousin?
I would be speculating to testify.
Well, you speculated that she didn't have any bad intentions. So
no, I said that she was testifying truthfully. That's what I testified to.
You used the word intentions. I wrote it down. You speculated what her intentions were.
Right. Well, if I said that, I may have misspoke.
Okay. One further question while he's still here. During the trial, Ed, the real estate agent, I got the impression maybe he's the top dog there, but I'm not sure, the real estate office, he testified that she wasn't supposed to be looking at any of his properties without a realtor present. Did you take that into consideration when you brought charges, that she was told by the realtor that she wasn't supposed to be there on her own either?
I don't know whether the prosecutor took that into account.
Thank you.
Okay, Attorney Dewars, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.